Glory, I'm saved. I don't think I'll ever get over that. If you'd like to turn to Psalm chapter 19 with me. A week and a half ago, Pastor announced on a Wednesday night that I'd be filling in for him while he was gone. He's doing a series in Psalm 19, if you haven't been here, and he sort of lightheartedly suggested that I might continue along that line or in that psalm, and I brushed that off rather quickly because I didn't think I could add anything to that, what he is saying. But as he taught, I thought maybe there is a little something I can augment what he was teaching on. Pastor's a remarkably gifted teacher, and to some degree I envy him. But in Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, it says, "The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth his handiwork. Day unto day uttereth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge." Whenever I think of Psalm 19, verses 1 through 3, and other verses like Psalm 33, 8 and 9, Romans chapter 1, verse 20, I think of Alaska. You know, they say about Alaska that on the sixth day when God was creating everything, right towards the end of that sixth day, he kind of stepped back and took a look around and said, "I can do a little bit better," and he made Alaska. So I thought, while Pastor was teaching, I thought, you know, maybe I can show the folks, since I'm going to be filling in, a little bit of the glory of God's creation. So, Greg, if you would, please. I can't help but look at that creation and think of a great creator behind it. And a great commission that goes along with it. Let's pray before we go any further. Father in heaven, we recognize that you are the one who created all that. And I stand in awe of you on a regular basis. Those pictures bring back thousands of memories for me. And they're just pictures to these folks. But I hope they communicate what a great God we have. What a remarkable creator you are. And how you've gifted all that to us. So Lord, as we go on from here, may our eyes be on you. May you open our eyes that we might behold wondrous things out of thy law. For we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. I'll not be long tonight. This was meant to augment a Wednesday night service. So I'm going to take a few minutes and share a few things about Alaska with you. Kathy and I moved to Alaska in 1980. In 1989, after Bible college, we followed God's leading to a little Eskimo village called Wainwright. There was a picture of it in there. It's sitting on the Arctic Ocean. Village of 600 people. Around that time, the North Slope of Alaska had several sites where archaeological digs were taking place. And one was about 25 miles up the coast of Wainwright. By this time, we had been in the village a couple of years. And during one of these summer digs, they uncovered the remains of a little Inupiat Eskimo lady. They didn't know exactly how long it had been there. But those in charge of the site came to town and talked to some of the community leadership and determined what to do. And they decided they wanted to reinter the remains nearby off of the dig site and have a gravesite service. So they came to the Baptist preacher, Ungayuliksi, as he was called, and asked if I would come up and officiate, which I agreed to do wholeheartedly. So I hopped on my four-wheeler, or my Honda as it's called, you call them quads, and at the appointed time rode 25 miles up along the coast of the Arctic Ocean to that site, and there I found a small gathering of locals and archaeologists. Now I stand before them, given an opportunity to speak to the living about the dead, and I shared the gospel with them. But I have a dilemma. I really do. There's a very good chance that this young lady died without ever hearing the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. Never heard about the Lord Jesus Christ, his sinless life, his death, his burial, his resurrection, that it was the atonement for all mankind's sin. Never heard that all who call upon him could be saved. Never heard, and possibly never called upon the Lord Jesus Christ, because for whosoever shall call upon the Lord shall be saved. Considering that, my heart was broken for this little lady whom I didn't know. So here I stand on the edge of a freshly dug grave alongside of a wooden coffin that held the bones of this young Inupiat Eskimo lady. And I take the living and the dead to Romans chapter 1. And if you'd like to turn there with me, we'll read a couple of verses in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them." And please notice verse 20. "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." After reading verse 20, I shared with the living that I hoped this young lady had walked out of her igloo one day and looked up into a star-filled sky and thought, there must be a God. Or maybe in awe, she stood under the aurora borealis, the northern lights, while they danced overhead and thought, there must be a God. Or those struggling daily just to live in one of the harshest environments in the world, in a darkness that lasts for weeks in the winter, temperatures that dip to 50 below and wind chills to 100 below. I hope there was a moment in time when she observed the beauty of creation she was surrounded by and thought, there must be a God. For if she did that, I believe it would put the onus on a loving God to get the truth to her somehow, some way. And the only thing I could think of was that I hope she lived during the late 1800s when the New England whalers came up there chasing the baleen whale for their whalebone. And that somehow, some way, one of them communicated to her the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They came in the mid-1800s. The first time the Presbyterian missionaries went to Alaska was the early 1900s. 1900 years after the death and burial of our Lord Jesus Christ and his resurrection. I'll leave that out. 1900 years after that, it took somebody to get to the North Slope of Alaska to share the gospel. What about the thousands of Inuit peoples who lived in Alaska, Canada, and Greenland for centuries who never heard the gospel? What about the people groups around the world who today have not heard the gospel? We had our missionary this morning going to Germany. That's just one place in a big world, folks. We sit here comfortably in Grand Haven, Michigan, and I think, sad to say, sometimes rarely consider the plight of a lost and dying world. We have our missions conference once a year. We occasionally have a missionary come in. And it was a good message this morning, and I was challenged. Why is it okay for others to go, but not us, or our children, or our grandchildren? Why is it, to my knowledge, Monty and Gloria Moore are the only homegrown missionaries out of Robinson Baptist Church? I could be wrong, but 60 years. And if we only sent out one couple? Do you know the names of any of your missionaries we support? Yeah, the Rudolphs. They were here this morning. Do you pray for any of our missionaries? Do you know and pray for any missionaries? What about you? You willing to go? You willing to challenge your children and your grandchildren to go? I can speak for Kathy and I. I wouldn't trade the experience of taking the gospel to a village of 600 people for, as my mother used to say, all the tea in China. I wouldn't do it. It was one of the highlights of our lives. My only regret is I didn't go earlier and maybe stay longer. I'd encourage you to encourage your kids and grandchildren to go. Missionaries will meet people you may never get a chance to meet, but they're just people. You know, it don't take long to fall in love with some of them. Psalm 33, verse 8 and 9 says, "Let all the earth fear the Lord. Let all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him, for he spoke. And it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast." Romans 20 says, "For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." The world stands without excuse today. And they look at his great creation and see him. But they can also look in his specific revelation and learn of him and what he has done through his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. There I stood at the edge of a young lady's grave in the early 1990s who lived and died after the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, with doubts in my mind that she had ever heard the gospel. Why is it that my own adopted daughters, ancestors, lived and died here on a planet Earth for hundreds of years after the death, burial, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, and they may have never heard the gospel? Let us do our part for missions at home and abroad. Let us do our part to reach our Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the world. Let us pray. Father in heaven, thank you for being there. Thank you for designing a plan of salvation before the foundations of the world, that I personally could come to the Lord Jesus Christ one day, and these folks as well. Thank you for that gospel, that good news, that is so available today, that no one should ever have to live and die without hearing it. Thank you for this church that loves you and loves your word and loves your Son and loves missions. Use us, please, at home and abroad, I pray. Thank you for the leadership of this church. Thank you for our pastor. Bring him home safely. And thank you for these people. For I thank you in Jesus' name.